$1,000.
Bet he can't say that in reverse.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
The rain is coming down here in Metairie. Too bad it didn't have to interfere with Saints practice. No, the team canceling it this morning, so minicamp is over. The offseason of the offseason, I guess, is now officially underway. Next time we see the black and gold on the field, folks, it'll be training camp. Doesn't mean we don't have a lot to talk about. We will recap what we saw in the five practices that we were able to see. Media and fans obviously got to see two practices, three OTA practices. Brian and Ola East and I as well will go through that a ton today and kind of wrap up everything that we have observed and gone. We'll go from position. We'll do all of that. The latest signing, we touched on it yesterday. Right at the end of the show, the news came out that a new running back was going to be a member of the team as well, a veteran, which was interesting to say the least. And speaking of running backs, my oh my.
Well, what's the secret to not getting hit?
Man, no, stay away from people. This, yeah, I'm moving. I'm bobbing and weaving. I'm trying to stay away from whoever trying to tackle me. So I don't know if it was a secret. If I told y'all, it wouldn't be a secret no more.
I've said this already. I cannot wait for 41. It's a safe bet. Go ahead, but you can buy a jersey. I know Joey has patented or is in the process of getting ready to patent his jersey technology where it's just Velcro, Joey. Well, it's my name. That's it. Just rip the name off and put a new name in. But I think it's a safe bet. You can go purchase a 41 jersey. And other than him changing, Brian, the number, Alvin Kamara is going to be here for a long, long time. I can't wait to watch him play. I love hearing the guy talk. He's so relaxed and cool. And it's just, I'm telling you, we were seeing it yesterday early in practice. I was talking to you about it. I was talking to Todd about it too. I said, it's been a long, long time. I don't think ever really since the Peyton era where, again, I can make the case an argument, and I'm not saying importance, but definitely in terms of players that fans are excited to see, 41 is right there with number nine.
I think he may have surpassed number nine at this point, to be honest with you. I mean, I think Breeze is kind of at this point to where we expect greatness from him. So it's kind of like ho-hum. But with Kamara, you're excited to watch him play.
Here's the other thing that's interesting when it comes to him as well. One of the things that's great is his embracing of the city and its fans. We're very particular in New Orleans as to how we have people talk about us and our teams and whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Our news people. I mean, on anchors. I mean, we want them local.
Yeah.
He did something that I'll be honest with you. It would have to take a lot for me to, right? This guy moves in here and moves not in an affluent area, not somewhere where it's away from the hub and bub and all that. He gets right there. He's like in the
quarter.
Right
in the heart of the city.
Right. Yeah. He's like right downtown, you know? And yesterday I'm watching the show The Deed. Right. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about on CNBC yesterday. And it's, it's based off Sidney Torres and he's flipping houses and all that other stuff. But anyway, at the very end, they're showing this $1 million house. And one of the people looking at the house is Alvin Kamara. And it's like in Treme. It's right there. It's, you know, like there's one house that's like $250,000 run down. And then he's just looking at the house. I don't know if he bought it or not. They didn't say who eventually did. But my point is the fact that he was looking to purchase that. And I look over to my wife and I go, that's what's interesting about him. Look, Drew lives right across from Audubon, little gated sort of area there. I get it. I would too. But you always see him at Audubon Park. You
Correct.
Know, he put that little playground there for special needs kids. He has videos of his kids playing out there. You will see Drew Brees out and about in the Audubon area.
Right. That's right? Correct.
Exactly. So he's here. Sean Payton's moved up there as well. Started in the North Shore. He's down there in the Garden District and stuff. But for Alvin Kamara, rookie, to come in, and he embraces it. He eats breakfast, lunch, dinner. He goes out and about.
Yeah, he walks from the dome after the game. You know,
right.
He walks home.
Think about that. Like, who else really honestly does? He goes straight down Poydras.
Yeah, you know, just walks in the middle of the crowds and stuff like
right.
that. Like, it doesn't bother him.
No, what's so great about that. And like I said, I'm watching that yesterday, and it was just very interesting to watch that yesterday and kind of be like, you know what? That's a cool dude, man.
He gets it.
He not only totally gets it, but when you're like that, the people around here will respect that and embrace you, and now you're absolutely
Oh, he's untouchable now.
No, yeah. not yeah. only that, he's like, he's definitely one of you. No one's going to mess with you, and it's like, but that's great, though. I'm just saying, I tease about it all the time. There's no way in heck I'm ever living on the other side of that canal over there. I got good police, sewage, you know, it's flooding over there. I love Jefferson Parish.
Yeah, you're very, very, very
particular. I'm good. I'll go visit
mean
Orleans.
Streets,
yeah, exactly. But him, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, as a rookie, he wanted to embrace the culture. He wanted to. I'm going on and on, but I'm not calling him a man crush. I'm just like.
It sounds like it.
I love me some 41. I'm just, I'm just saying that guy, look, we got very lucky, and I can relate to this in terms of the Pels. Okay. Baron Davis came in. Okay, he was a guy that you kind of saw and you knew, but he didn't buy in.
No.
Okay, he didn't buy in. He couldn't wait to get out of here. You drafted Chris Paul, and Katrina hit.
Yeah, so
but
he's okay.
You saw this guy, and look, he was very good at what he did. I was like, man, this guy might be one of the best point guards in the league.
Yeah.
And he embraced it. He did. He lived right there, right? You know, that tower of apartments with Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there going, you got two really good young guys that kind of get it and embrace it and what have you. I know you still haven't forgiven CP me or CP3 becoming CP me, but point is, so he goes. The team drafts Anthony Davis. You could not have asked for a better player than Anthony Davis, who to me is right there with Drew Brees.
Yes.
Not only notoriety nationally, but also just gets it. I mean, really honestly does. You never ever hear him or see him doing anything in town that's bad.
No,
ever. The guy speaks on behalf of the city. He goes out of his way to let people know, would y'all stop it? I love it here. He didn't say, hey, I hope to win.
No.
He's always said, I love New Orleans.
How'd the quote go? You can write this down.
Yeah.
I'm staying in New Orleans. Right? So I love that.
That's what I'm getting at. He actually likes it here with this family. So we've all had sleepless nights, restless conversations when we sit here and go, what's it going to be like once Drew Brees leaves? Who's going to take over that mantle? Who's going to be the jersey seller? Who's going to be the guy in the promos? Who's going to... Dude, a guy like Alvin Kamara could very easily sort of be that, you know, I don't know if he'll be the talker in front of all that, but he's a great interview. He's a guy that's completely embraced living in New Orleans. I'm just saying that could be that next... Like Drew's special. I mean, Drew could be governor. I mean,
no question. Easily.
Easily. So... Yeah. But it's great to see this new crop of young guys. Marshawn Lattimore is another one, man. That just
Mike Thomas is.
Mike Thomas as well.
You would not know Mike was not born in New Orleans when he acts on Twitter.
No, you got three guys that, for the most part, embrace it and love each other, love these teammates, man.
Yeah.
That's the next crop of young Saints players. I'm just saying, again, we'll play some Kamara sound from yesterday. It's just, the kid's just fun. I mean, it's just, I want to see him play. I cannot wait to see him play.
I agree, man. I mean, between him, Mike Thomas, and Lattimore, dude. Like, I mean, if you just pay attention to Mike Thomas on Twitter, at Can't Guard Mike, for those that, you know, are just getting on Twitter, you can't tell him he's not from here.
No.
He quotes, like not just new rap lyrics. It's like 1986 New Orleans rap lyrics when Mike wasn't even born that he knows. And, I mean, he recites
it
religiously.
There's something to be said, and we've touched on this, Brian, that there's something about living here as well. And, and even, it doesn't matter what you do, how much money you have, but if you embrace it, they'll take you in.
Oh, you'll say, we'll love you back.
And it's anonymity yet with celebrityism, if that makes any sense to you. Like, they'll watch you be like, hey, my man, go get them. Go beat them Falcons. And they'll let you be.
They'll leave you alone
afterwards.
You know
what I'm saying? Afterwards. It's like, you don't have paparazzi. You don't have all. That's why so many celebrities come down here, Hollywood South, and live here and had homes here from, you know, very big movie stars have had homes here because they can just disappear. You know, it's just kind of the culture. Anyway, it's neither here or there. Kind of went off on a tangent there. I just love me some Kamara. So we're going to hear from him. And unfortunately, we got to wait 7 weeks to watch him play again.
Just do me a favor.
What?
Stay away from Alvin. Just stay away from Alvin.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you always do something. Just stay away from Alvin. That's all we're asking.
Anyway. See, I don't like what you're insinuating there, considering that the last person you talked about we hadn't seen at minicamp.
Hey, look. practice. Mm-hmm. We're talking about practice. Okay. Not a game. Yeah. Not a game.
We'll talk a little bit about why they probably canceled practice today. I'm going with bodies and maybe just the weather here as well. But just I don't know what kind of good work you were going to get in terms of you looked at it yesterday. Four receivers were out. Thomas, Coleman, Traquan Smith, Cameron Meredith. You had Cameron Jordan still dealing. You know, not dealing, but he has a new baby.
Correct.
He probably hasn't slept. And then you have Marcus Davenport didn't practice. I mean, I can go on and on. There's a list. You know what? We'll see in July. Yeah. I think that's probably what happened. Jordan, the intern, says he observed in the locker room a lot of fun and games, like reindeer games out there yesterday.
Yeah, they were playing some Super Smash Bros.
Exactly.
Ping pong. I think they were playing some deck of cards.
It's like senioritis. It was like the last week of school as a senior, right?
They were also playing basketball. I didn't see Brian in there, so wasn't as fun. But
I don't even know if I'm allowed to be in the locker room anymore.
Yeah, well, exactly.
After my basketball escapades.
Well, the fact that you lost so poorly.
Everyone was laying around in there, too. No one was leaving.
Yeah, well, that's my point. I just think Sean Payton has a very good sense and feel for his team. And quite honestly, it's why one of the reasons we weren't really worried about Michael Thomas in terms of this. It's almost like whatever is ailing him or whatever it is, he looks so good and dominant in OTAs. We'll see you in July as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I talked about this and joked yesterday. Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, we got a nice big old roll of bubble wrap ready for you. We've seen enough. We will see you in September as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm being serious.
That's the only time you got to see
us. As far as I'm concerned, you, Drew, y'all can be the three amigos. Sitting down on the bench chewing sunflower seeds.
Just share a bag.
I don't need to see them in preseason. Like, selfishly as a fan, yes, I want to.
Yeah.
But being a smart fan, I don't need to see them. I honestly don't need to see them.
No, all you need to see them is going in Costco or Sam's, buying a really big bag of sunflower seeds to share and stand on sidelines.
There's a bucket. I think they sell them by the bucket.
There you go.
Sam's or Costco. Jordan, the intern, as a gift from the Sports Hangover, just get them a bucket. Just be like, for us, have a seat.
Stealing their juicy fruit?
Especially, though, see, he went there. I wasn't even going to snitch on him.
He
snitched on himself. Why would you let people know that you thieved a piece of juicy fruit gum from the Saint player's gum stash?
I could tell on Nick.
Let me tell you what, both of y'all. First off, you're shooting hoops with JT Barrett.
Hey, listen.
And then you got Drew Brees involved. He could have pulled something shooting hoops in there because of you.
Hey,
and then you thieve juicy fruit gum that you know the head coach likes to chew, and it's now down two sticks, not one. Two.
I made sure to get two.
The worst part about it, none of those sticks made it to the show host.
Is that what your problem is, that you didn't get one?
I'm just saying.
It sounds like
if you're going to thieve Saints gum that the head coach chews.
It was a good kind, too, because it was the long lasting.
See, you might think of, well, if I'm going to get thrown out of here, I might as well hook up the host.
Wow. Yeah. It's always about you.
No.
Always.
At the end of the day, you know what the anniversary is today? The 20th anniversary of The Shot. Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Utah knocking down the game winner.
You mean when he pushed off and didn't get called?
No. Okay. Yeah. Look. Russell slipped.
No, he didn't.
There was a wet spot on the floor.
No.
It was not a push-off.
He pushed off.
Okay, really? Well, your guy does nothing but elbows into people, and they call it the greatest drive to the – I'm sorry, he lays up. I was going to say greatest dunk to the basket, but he mainly lays up.
Hey, listen, it's 2 points either way.
You're going there. I was going to be patient with you, and I was going to wait to do this after the break, but I can't anymore.
Why not?
Because, you know what? You called this out on yourself.
You're going to show me clips of the tennis shoe guy?
You have called yourself out on this.
I hope it's not that tennis shoe guy.
The tennis shoe guy. Look, this is all on you. But now I know where that love for LeBron James comes from. Jordan, the intern, both of y'all, as a matter of fact. What color shirt is he wearing right now? Red. What color shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing a Pelican shirt, Gus.
It's still red.
Wait, at least you have a red shirt on underneath your shirt.
But I have a white ESPN shirt over it, so it's neither here or there.
Don't be talking.
You know what? Here's what's interesting. 2 hours ago, certain football team took to the practice fields because they didn't call practice. They had full practice.
They need practice.
I'm just saying, and a certain player, Monte Casey, is that his name?
Yeah.
Monte Casey. You know who that is?
Yeah, he plays for the Atlanta
Free
Falcons.
Free safety of yours. Atlanta Falcons. But why don't you hear what he has to say as he's walking out of the building. Falcons photographer there to capture.
Hey, I got a message. LeBron James is always going to be the greatest, all right? I'm going to let y'all know. Nobody's better than LeBron James, okay? King James, that's my uncle. Shout out to him.
There you go. I'm just saying, it's awfully strange that I know in the past, somebody in this room might have been flying high back in the day, and coincidentally, I just maybe got another reason to dislike the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not that I needed any help.
You just got
not
on
that
Jordan.
I needed any help, but on this day, the 20-year anniversary of the greatest game-winning shot in the Jordan era.
Did Steve Kerr hit that
like
shot?
Like the last shot did that Steve... he ever took with the right there. There it is. Game winner.
Did Steve Kerr hit that shot?
Game
or John Paxson?
Winner. Okay? He did it. Not Paxton, not Kerr, not BJ Armstrong, the legend, the GOAT, the man.
LeBron?
Okay? That's what he did. Shockingly, here comes a member of the Falcons on his day. Jordan's day.
My day.
Jordan's day, not your day.
Well, that's Jordan.
Michael Jordan's day.
There you go.
The release of a new shoe, by the way, day
oh,
today.
Oh, the tennis shoe guy. Yes. I thought so.
Yes.
How coincidental.
Shockingly, yeah. The foul clowns come out to disrupt his day. Stop it. Don't play that. Don't you play
what?
This.
You just got on
this
Jordan.
This is Michael
a minute
Jordan's
ago.
Day, and these clowns come out going, no, LeBron James, the greatest.
You just told on, you know, you told Jordan don't tell on himself, and then you go on this rant telling on yourself about how you are a longtime Falcon fan.
No, I'm saying this is your team right here. That's what you got.
My team.
No, now I know. You're the way you tout your king, clearly you're a Falcon fan.
Listen, just because I have plans on moving, you know, to Flowery Branch at, you know, Georgia doesn't mean that I'm a Falcon fan.
You got a red mic.
Sounds like to me.
You sure do, Gus.
It's a red poofy.
Raza.
Again, ESPN's are red colors.
No.
No, you clearly, I mean,
no.
What are the Falcons' colors? Red, no. Black, and white, and you're wearing
stop
them proudly.
Stop playing this.
You could have a black mic tip.
Nope. Out. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll hear from head coach Sean Payton, not about practice, but about the big announcement that's still going on right now. As it's about to wrap up here a little bit, but we'll play some of the opening segments. Saints Hall of Fame has three new members. Michael Caber, you know who that is? He is the guy that's taken pictures for the team as long as I can remember. The official team photographer has captured fantastic shots. And in two players, this is strange, man. I wonder if Sean Payton feels old because there are two players that started in the Sean Payton era and are now being inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. But it ought to tell you their influence and their impact that coach is still coaching, and two of his players are going in September to the Saints Hall of Fame. I love it, and it's our question of the day. Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore, as soon as they're wrapped up, according to Ken Trahan, Saints Hall of Fame director, he's going to hand them a phone. We're going to try to talk to Lance and Pierre today during the show. So, Joey, if the phone rings and it's, hey, it's Lance or Pierre, you might want to put them on. I'm just letting you know. I don't know when they're calling, but at some point, hopefully we'll hear from Lance Moore and Pierre Thomas, the two newest members of the Saints Hall of Fame. The question today is real simple. Jordan, the intern, what is it?
What are your favorite moments from Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore career?
Ooh, that's hard. Is it hard, though?
No, it's not.
It's all in one game, I think.
Yes,
isn't
it? It is.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. We'll discuss that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Go online, King Injury. Cut this. This is terrible. That's it.
Probably scored that on the Saints, by the way.
You know what? Stop it. Let's get to something that's going to make us feel a little bit better. Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore, newest members of the Saints Hall of Fame. They're currently speaking right now, taking questions from the media. Hopefully we'll get them at some point afterwards when they do some one-on-ones. We will get them to call in so we can actually talk to both players. It's crazy during the break. We're just talking there, Brian. First off, the first thing that pops in your head, again, 800-998-1003 is the number to give us a call. Coming at bottom of the hour, by the way, we got somebody to talk a little bit. Oops.
Yeah. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports.
Talk cool. See what the question that everyone's burning about, LeBron James.
Well, of course.
So here's the thing. Two undrafted rookie free agents.
Yeah.
Right? Well, at least for Lance Moore, NFL Europe, but he was undrafted. Started with the Colts and then made his way onto team. Special teams player, punt returner, and eventually Brian started seeing him work with the receivers.
Yeah.
I think injuries or what have you gave him some opportunities, and then he made his way onto being like a legit receiver every play, essentially.
Yeah.
Pierre Thomas. Again, it's a tough question of the day. Jordan, one more time. Question of the day, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA.
What are your favorite moments from Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore's career?
See, I think this is not as easy as it is, but you're telling me it's pretty simple. Because to me, I'll start it off. I actually think it was August 30th, 2007 for me. Okay? For more than one reason. Now, again, it's maybe 1A, 1B. But I think Pierre Thomas, V Dolphins, preseason game 4. Who was the fourth round draft pick running back at the Saints?
That'd be Antonio Pittman.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Saints were looking for a running back. They drafted him, right? And what happened during that preseason?
Pierre outshined him pretty much every time, and all of a sudden Antonio Pittman was no longer a Saints draft pick. Antonio
That's
Pittman.
Exactly right. I mean, seriously. It's nuts when you think about it. When you look at it, more than anything, I think that's the thing that stands out to me. That game kind of just was what you saw. And look, I get it. The play of which obviously he scores the touchdown in the Super Bowl off the screen passes. It's the first touchdown, you know, for the Saints in Super Bowl history. Yeah. And it's Pierre Thomas. So, of course, that stands out. But to me, like I said, it was that game in which, you know, the final score, Brian, was only 7-0.
Yeah.
Okay? The final score was only 7-0. But Pierre Thomas just, you couldn't cut him.
No.
The fans were all about him, and he just went out there and just ran 16 times, 81 yards, a touchdown, 2 catches for 47 yards, a decent kickoff return, says the recap in it as well. That's the preseason finale. I mean, and he's quoted as saying, hopefully I show these coaches I can play here. I can play at this level. Just coming in, I told myself, this is one of my biggest games. I really wanted it so bad, and hopefully my performance showed it. It was my first game as the Saints Solid reporter back in that day. So that was, to me, the storyline. Who's going to make the roster? And this guy, just by the third quarter, I mean, the crowd, it's the fourth preseason game.
Yeah.
There's no reason to even be there. And he had the dome buzzing.
Yeah.
In a 7-0 game, because his runs were just, he wouldn't go down.
Kind of a trend for him.
Later that season, at Chicago, I will never forget this play. Near side, here comes a run, so it's a toss left. And he's breaking it to the left side of the sideline. If you're watching it on TV, it's the top of the screen.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Saints are on the opposite end. They're in the top because it's Chicago. And Brian Urlacher absolutely levels him. Just boom.
Yeah.
Levels him. They go spieling out. I have to hop over them because, I mean, they're about to take me out. I'll never forget that. From that standpoint, I almost died. Could have died.
No, you couldn't have.
Oh, absolutely. But they're right below me right here. And Pierre is blinking, like trying to, you know, knock the cobwebs out. And Urlacher is, woo, woo. I mean, right, he's loudly, I mean, right at him. And he picks him up, smacks him on the head, and he goes, my man, keep running like that. And after that, now remember, Urlacher on that team was a captain and incredibly respected.
Hall of Famer this year, by the way.
The thing that stood out to me, Brian, was after that run. And remember, he's an Illinois native.
Yeah.
Right? The thing that stood out to me was after every single run from that play on, a Chicago Bear picked him up after a tackle.
Wow.
That stood out to me. And it was a 100-yard game. It was his first 100-yard game. And that's
100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving that game.
And that's what stood out to me. It's that he ran with such respect and authority. Obviously, when you see an Urlacher come up and, you know, pick you up, it sends a message of respect. But that stood out to me. That whoever tackled him after that point picked him up, including a member of another team. And I was like, that's unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, that was incredible to me. And it's crazy to reread his quote there. He's like, I just want to show I can play at this level. I always thought, and it's crazy because they're still talking and Sean's going on and on. I don't think he ever got the credit he did deserve nationally, and I get that. He was a great role player on this team. But I would, Case, I would throw the argument out there, how I remember Pierre Thomas, right? We could talk about this. 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. Easily. Easily one of the best screen runners ever in Saints history.
No, it's not NFL history.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely in Saints history, though. Yeah. Because, again, the touchdown play, and I have it here. Here it is. You know, it's him, you know, running the football. And it's, you know, it's a screen pass.
Inside the set up screen to Thomas. Inside the 10, Thomas weaving up the five, and he's in.
He broke like six tackles on the play.
Here's what I'll ask you.
That's Pierre Thomas.
This is my thing about Pierre. Mm-hmm. When they ran that play, didn't you automatically think it was either a first down or a touchdown every single time it went to him?
You just referenced something else that I'll always remember Pierre Thomas. Always falls forward.
The Yak King.
Always, yes. Yards after catch, run after catch. He never, when there was contact made, he fell forward.
This is why when people tell me Alvin Kamara is a certain type of back, I always say, doesn't he remind you of Pierre with the way he runs, with the balance, the vision? I mean,
just more gifted.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a Pierre, almost like a Pierre, you know, I guess, hyped up, souped up.
He's Reggie Pierre combined. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Reggie Pierre combined.
Yeah, I mean.
He's got the quickness and speed that Reggie Bush had.
Yes.
Okay, but the vision and the wherewithal. I mean, people, that's what I always try to say to Alvin Kamara, about Alvin Kamara to fans. That guy is so smart. And that bite that I played last year, I'm going to go save it and we'll play it tomorrow and talk about it if I can find it right now during a break. But it's when he talks about how as the run is going on, he's already like he's gone full Matrix mode.
Yes.
On it. The Matrix bite is what I called it, if you remember.
Yes.
He's looking at where he's cutting and he's setting up somebody. Now, keep in mind at how fast an NFL run is.
Right.
It's quick. I mean, a play happens about 1 to 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And as it's happening, he's telling us that he is setting up the cutback by how he's starting the run to get that linebacker or DB that he's already pre-studied.
Yes.
Maybe he likes to dive for the feet. Maybe he likes to try to go with the shoulder tackle. He already knows what that guy's probably trying to do, and he's setting him up during the run.
He's like Le'Veon Bell.
Right. I mean, it's just crazy, though. It's processing so fast for him. But that was to me, Pierre Thomas, like, you're not bringing me down.
No.
And that's why I would always yell and scream. I'm like, I think sometimes Sean Payton still never always believed in him in certain moments. And I yelled at TVs. I've yelled on the sidelines. I've yelled in the press box on third and short. Here comes Ingram or here comes Reggie. Give it to Pierre Thomas. So it's like, just give it to him. He's going to find a way to get you that yard.
Deuce McAllister is a Hall of Famer, and he's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Pierre Thomas may be my favorite running back that's ever played for the Saints.
That's a huge statement.
It is. And, I mean, I love Deuce. I love what he brought to the table. But Pierre Thomas was just different to me, man. I mean, I think he may be my favorite Saints runner, although I think Deuce is the Hall of Famer. He's the upper echelon. He's the guy that everybody shoots to be like. And I think Pierre is one of the guys that said that Deuce kind of, you know, showed him his way.
Hey.
I think you're going to have a new favorite in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Being Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But to the point of Brian saying, I think the thing that makes Pierre Thomas' story even, again, he was an undrafted player.
Yeah.
He beat out a drafted running back. And he's sitting at the table right now at the Saints facility. It's now 12:30. They start at 11:45. 45 minutes later, he's still being inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. Or he's the introduction. They're just telling stories now. They were so important to that Super Bowl team. Both of those guys. We haven't even got to Lance Moore yet, which we'll get to. But I want to make sure we have some time because they're going to wrap up. They'll do some one-on-ones on TV. So we'll probably hear from them. I'm going to go into 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We have a guest coming up here now. We'll take the break, and we'll speak a little basketball.
Yeah, Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports. Going to talk a little bit about where's LeBron going to go? How realistic can the Pels be? And, of course, going to get you just to admit once and for all to a national person how much you hate LeBron and how Jordan's a bum.
That's not at all how this interview is going to go.
Yeah.
At all. We will talk with the lead NBA writer, managing editor of NBCSports.com, where we come back. Again, Lance and Pierre Thomas still at their press conference. So when they wrap up, they're probably going to do some one-on-ones for TV. And then hopefully we will have them on top of next hour to call in and we can chat with them as well. We just gloated over Pierre. We hadn't even got to Lance Moore and what he did here. Want to hear from you Saints fans as well. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA, where we are in hour one of the Sports Hangover. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Deborah at ESPN Radio NOLA chiming in saying Thomas diving into the end zone for a TD and more of the two-point conversion, both in the Super Bowl and many more, are the plays that you remember. Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas, the press conference still going on over at the Saints facility. We hope to have them call in next hour as they are going to be the two newest members inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. And we were talking about Pierre Thomas there. Lance Moore, again, another tremendous story. I mean, I remember that first mini camp over in Millsaps, Brian, of him, you know, trying to get onto special teams and do that. And it's crazy when you think that both of these guys were special teams players. Pierre Thomas, another moment that I remember being on the sideline at Seattle. Saints had started at 0-4 after 2006, right? He runs a kickback against the Seahawks in the game there, Brian. And Pierre Thomas, it was funny because his value started to grow so much that the Saints had to go find another kick returner because he runs back the kick, you know, and then they get a turnover, and then Pierre Thomas, like, he's winded. He can't. I remember saying that to Jim Henderson, you know, back up in the booth. I'm like, they keep using him in special teams. He's making tackles, and he has to get right back on the field and run a play. He can barely run right now. He played so good, though, in both aspects, but he was more valuable as a running back that eventually they had to find someone else to return kicks.
Yeah, I don't think his contributions on field can really be measured, man, because he was a tone setter for the Saints for the longest
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it goes back to the bite you used to play all the time when he called himself the Yak King. He's like, you know, I don't want to be able to say the first guy took me down. It's going to take, you know, four or five guys to come and get me if you want to bring me down. And if you watched him run the ball, that's exactly the type of person that he was. He always seemed to make the first guy, the second guy miss and get downfield. And had it not been for the injury to Pierre Thomas in 2011 against the San Francisco 49ers, I think the Saints are hoisting their second Lombardi trophy, you know, within, you know, a few years of each other because they actually, you know, got it in 2010. But that would have been pretty amazing to see because the Saints will tell you, especially Drew Brees, that 2011 is probably the championship they let get away. And I think it was because of that we saw the Saints making moves, you know, the very next year. I think they get Mark Ingram or something like that. So they kind of started drafting for running back depth after that because Pierre goes down. And then Reggie goes down, and they pretty much had nobody else after that. So it was kind of weird to see that happen in San Francisco, although they almost pulled it off.
It's funny you say that because that is one of the things I do remember him, you know, saying that he's the Yak King. I mean, he loved contact. He was that tone setter. And it's interesting because that's one of the things that a lot of people talk about with Mark Ingram,
mm-hmm.
right? That he's a guy that maybe can set that tone and sort of be that guy in order to do it. When it comes to Lance Moore, man, right there.
Yeah.
Right there as well because he was a guy that just won an opportunity. And it's funny, you're seeing them just sit there right now. They both look like they can step on the field right now and help. I mean, seriously, yeah. They both still do. That said, man, just that two-point conversion, I know in one play kind of summed up, didn't it, what Lance Moore was able to do?
Yes. Yes. Because he was a guy that always seemed to just get open and
mm-hmm.
And when he, you know, when he actually, you know, got into those zones, man, it's like it was almost an automatic first down. And Lance just found a way to consistently get open. But, and that being said, I did not fail you, Captain.
Nah,
I did not.
You failed me.
Yeah, you always think I failed you.
I just thought this was kind of part of the LeBron move. I'm kidding. Let's have a little fun.
Yeah, of course. Because we have on our guest today, Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com, lead writer for them, who has a bunch of articles going on right now. I don't even know where to start exactly. Right now, Kurt, considering that you got so much going on between the Kawhi Leonard and Michael Porter Jr. and LeBron James.
I know where to start, Kurt, because clearly the number one story right now isn't LeBron, his destination. It's diss tracks and disraps because obviously even the Lakers have now told both players to calm and tone down the diss track. So when's the latest diss track coming out from Kurt?
I don't know. Usually my boss sends me a diss track in an email like daily. you know, it's so funny. It's like those guys are actually, I mean, they may have, I know I never did this in my 20s. I never in my early 20s, like, was joking with friends and crossed the line. I know nobody listening has ever done that, but yeah, I guess it happens occasionally. But they're actually, like, Kuzma and Ball get along fine. Like, their relationship will be fine. It's just, if you're trying to recruit LeBron James and Paul George and whoever else, you're like, yeah, we got this great, young, mature core that's going to be able to handle this, and they're sitting distracted each other. It doesn't really help the cause.
No doubt. So many different storylines to really get into as the offseason is, I guess, somewhat underway. We get ready for the draft here in New Orleans, only a second-round pick. We'll get to your thoughts on the Pels here as well. But a former player that played in New Orleans, David West, I thought said something very interesting after the Warriors, you know, finally finished the Cavs off in the sweep, saying that you have no idea what was going on in the locker room. Kurt, coaches aren't kind of giving any feedback or letting you know what's into that. What have you been able to find out? Is there anything to that, or was it just, I guess, the normal ins and outs things that teams go through?
I think it was, I mean, there's always a little more drama on the high-profile teams, but I don't know that it was anything dramatically out of the ordinary. You know, it's funny, I've talked to a couple people, but it's, you know, I'm based in L.A. The people who cover this team were like, what the heck are you talking about? And they started diving in, and nobody's really got anything. I mean, yeah, there's always some little stuff and some trying to fit in stuff, and, you know, especially with guys they had in and out of the lineup with injuries. But I think it was more David West saying, you think that we were going to coast to this because we're Golden State Warriors, and gotcha. You thought this was going to be easy, and it's not. It's never easy to win a championship in any sport. Even if you're the most talented team, it's never going to be simple. And I think that he was getting more at that, but maybe something will break in the next few days and we'll find out that, you know, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry had to be separated. That would be fun, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
We're speaking with Kurt Heelan, lead writer for the NBA, managing editor over at NBCSports.com. And, Kurt, I want to kind of just switch gears just a little bit, still NBA concerning, but what happens with the Greg Popovich thing that you were writing about, especially how it pertains to Kawhi Leonard and maybe whether or not he'll sign a long-term extension, considering it's kind of worded that Pop may retire in about 2 years.
Yeah, that's kind of – look, the sense is that he's been on the verge now for a little while, like that he's been almost – you know, he's year to year, and he's kind of just trying to decide when it's going to be. He's got his national team duties in 2020, and he's very excited about that. Like, he's not giving that up. So he'll probably coach the team through 2020, but will he coach beyond that? And I think that factors in a little to what Kawhi Leonard is. You know, they've got to sit down and get some trust back and work this out. But if I'm signing up for 5 years of the Spurs, I would like 5 years of Greg Popovich. If I'm only getting two, how much does that affect my decision? But I think it affects your decision a little. I can also give you 219 million reasons he still signs that deal if it ends up on the table.
You know, it's nuts because Kawhi Leonard could be, Kurt, one of the pieces, obviously, that really gets a lot of things moving this year if that happens. Let's start there, and then we'll move on. Do you think he stays with the Spurs, or does Popovich and them go, look, maybe he's a tradable piece, maybe we just go ahead and start over?
He's a tradable piece, but you never – and he would get as much value back as you're ever going to get for a superstar. This isn't going to be a DeMarcus Cousins situation where you're going to get him on a relatively cheap deal. It would cost a whole lot for whoever gives him up. But that said, what I'm hearing is that, look, they haven't had their big, I don't know, we'll call it the summit meeting yet, but a lot of groundwork has been laid. There's been some dinners and some stuff, not necessarily between the two principals, but between everybody, you know, people around this. And just the vibe around the league is that the trade buzz around him has calmed down, that it's come down to he probably resigns. He probably stays there. Teams are ready to, like, look, 29 teams are ready to pounce with offers if it comes up, because Kawhi Leonard is a top five NBA player entering his peak who can play on both ends. But for that reason, I think they end up working it out. Plus, like I said, he would like the $219 million almost as much as you and I would like the $219 million. I, they'll probably find a way to work this out.
So with that being said, who's the bigger domino going into this offseason? Is it Kawhi and what happens with him, or is it LeBron, considering that now, of course, we're on LeBron watching where he'll be next?
Yep.
Yeah, LeBron, I think, look, LeBron is still the biggest domino. And by the way, never tends to fall quickly, right? I mean, it was, I think, I was looking it up the other day. It was July 8th in one case and July 11th the other time. Like, he doesn't, like, his announcement's not the second or the third. It's going to take some time, and that will impact Paul George. If either LeBron goes with him somewhere, I don't guess the Lakers are the only team that can really take two, or if LeBron doesn't go to Philadelphia, then they go after Paul George. It's just like there's a lot of dominoes to fall depending on what LeBron decides. So that's the one thing that could hold some of the bigger stuff up. But I think the other thing you're going to see possibly starting next week at the draft, which is there's a lot of teams that are going to start making really aggressive trades. There's a lot of teams, Washington, Portland's of the world, who are good teams, kind of looking at the landscape of things, saying, man, we're paying a lot of money to be in the middle, in the middle of the playoffs, not able to challenge. And they're going to want to move, frankly, aggressively, maybe up, maybe down, but they're going to make some aggressive moves. Toronto could be one of those teams. So I think you're going to see some surprising names pop up on the trade block, possibly as soon as the draft, as teams decide to kind of shake things up one way or another.
Kurt, let's move over to the Pelicans, because obviously lots of interest here. It's interesting. We were just finishing covering Saints minicamp, and Brian, you mentioned it to me, and Jordan, you as well. There were Pelicans fans or people in Saints gear talking basketball while the Saints were going through their minicamp practice. That's a big thing here, Kurt. Trust me. So, you know, look, you get the sweep of the Blazers. You get to Golden State. The Boogie Cousins thing is obviously their number one thing. I'm feeling the sense here from everyone I talk to. It's a 2-3 year deal, maybe 3rd year player option, what have you. Dallas seems to be as the team that maybe wants to throw out a 4th year deal. What do you think? Because it starts there, doesn't it? What do you do with the Boogie Cousins thing?
Yeah, everything starts with Boogie Cousins. I mean, I think that there's got to be a comfort level with how they played at the end of the season and into the playoffs without Boogie to a degree. But the problem is, as you guys well know, and I'm sure it's discussed, it's not dollar for dollar. If Boogie leaves, you can't just go, hey, we got $20 million, go get whoever. It doesn't work that way. They're still over the cap. They'd have a little more money to spend, but not much. You know, their mid-level goes up and what have you. But they don't become, like, suddenly flush with cash. So I think they'd like to re-sign him, but I've heard exactly what you did, which is they want a 2-year with ideally a team, probably a player option in that 3rd year. Not quite at the max. His max would be 30, a little over 30, 30 and change, probably closer to 25. And we'll see if that works. And maybe, I mean, hopefully knocking on some wood that I don't have around me. You know, he comes back and is close to his old self. But there's really not a lot of comps for a guy that size, that athletic, that kind of build coming off an ACL at this age. Just nobody's exactly sure what to expect.
What's the more likely scenario at this position, Kurt? Will it be that the Pelicans actually are able to re-sign him, or that they re-sign him for the purposes of doing some type of sign-and-trade and maybe bringing in somebody that could help them a little bit more on the perimeter, like maybe a small forward or another, a taller guard to kind of combat that Kevin Durant problem that they're going to have for the next few years?
Yeah, Kevin Durant's a big problem for everybody.
yes.
I'm sure they're going to explore that. There are teams, like you mentioned, like Dallas. There are certainly teams that are interested in Cousins and can use a center. And, again, teams willing to take a risk on a guy with that kind of potential. By the way, I'm not sure. We'll see. I don't think Dallas is going to do it, because I think they're going to draft. They draft fifth. They're going to be able to get Bamba or Jaren Jackson or some guy, and they're going to bank on the rookie and put him with Dennis Smith Jr. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know that anybody's coming in hot and heavy for Cousins just because everybody's concerned. So you can, though, look at, I think that the idea of a sign and trade to get a better positional fit is out there and something they should explore. It's just, I don't know if you're going to get the value back you want on that.
All right, Kurt, we'll wrap up, obviously, with the question that no one knows, but everyone is asking and having fun with. I've seen mock billboards, like Leah's LeBron-ton relay that involve it as well. What's your best guess to what maybe happens? I think if he goes west, LeBron, it's got to be for a team he thinks for sure that can beat Golden State. It's probably Houston. I don't see the Laker thing just because, again, are they championship caliber? You know, if that's the case, if not, but – What stands out to me, what's interesting, is Dwayne Wade over the weekend saying this is going to be a lifestyle decision. Do you think it's going to be that? Because if that's the case, there's certain cities, like, you know, even though Pels fans can see sign-in trades, Boogie go up there and all that, I don't see that competing with the big glamour city. So your best guess to what do you think happens?
Yeah, I don't think no offense to the Pelicans. I just don't think they have the pieces that would interest a rebuilding Cavs team.
Right.
Boogie Cousins doesn't do it for you. You know what I've heard is he's enrolled his kids in school in Spain, and he's going to join, you know, Real Madrid and play with
them. There you go.
Now, I think lifestyle at this point in family matters, but I'm with you. Look, he's still pretty clear. When you ask him what's important, when you ask the people near him what's important, it's always championships. It's legacy. Look, he's chasing the ghost of Jordan, to use his own words. Like, not that he'll ever catch it, but that's the sphere he's running in now. And so championships matter, rings matter, and I'm with you on the Lakers. If I'm going to join a young core, do I want to join Lonzo Ball, even if I get Paul George with me, do I want Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, or do I want Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid?
Bingo.
I would. If it's about chasing championships, I'm going to stay in the East where, look, Boston's going to be good, don't get me wrong, and there's some other decent teams there. But the path is easier than the gauntlet that is the West. I mean, as you guys know, it's like the West is – you needed 47 wins to get in last year. It's a tough conference night in and night out. I'd stay in the East and do that. If it's about titles, you know, his kids can go to school in L.A. and live in Brentwood, and he can visit on off days, and he can play for Philly. We'll see what happens.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know you had some family things going on this week, so thank you so much. We're speaking with Kurt Helins. Kurt, tell the people how they can get in contact with you and follow your stuff on social media.
Oh, yeah, best place to follow me, I'm at Basketball Talk on Twitter. I'm happy to do it anytime, guys. And come on, I'd love talking. Look, I'm telling people, man, if I had my way, the finals every year would be New Orleans versus Miami, and then I'd gain like 20 pounds and have to go on a diet.
Nice.
I hear you. Well, you know, hey, look, we've had a couple of All-Star games, so let's keep trying to get that going
hey,
on,
man,
here.
I want the All-Star game to sort of rotate more like people have talked about, and they don't do with the Super Bowl. Like, I want to bounce between about four cities, and Chicago in the winter isn't one of them, man. I'm just telling you.
No, I hear you. That's for sure. Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kurt. Appreciate
time,
it, man.
Take care, man.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one, which is always presented by the King Firm. Go check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com, and don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. Ring the King. 909-KING. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans. Okay, sorry. Goosebumps just came back again. I was there, and I still, every time I see it, can't believe it.
I mean, dude, when he caught that pass, there was nothing in me that did not know it was a touchdown. I just, when he finally dove over the end zone, I mean,
again,
I think I erupted. Man.
Again, it was such a Pierre Thomas play and was so amazing. And again, we're speaking about Pierre Thomas, the newest member of the Saints Hall of Fame, his classmate, Lance Moore, and
yeah,
also the team photographer, Michael Hebert, longtime photographer for the team. All
great
three
shots
of them going in. Absolutely great guy, too. Got to meet him a lot and know him a lot when I was on the sidelines. But, man, again, this is kind of nostalgic for me because when both of them came in, those were my first 2 years, you know, doing sideline reporting and doing it. And so get to know them and see their start to even try to make spots on the team and storylines. And I mean, they're going into the team Hall of Fame. Just think about that.
Wow.
I mean, two people that weren't even drafted. I mean, just think about that, the impact that they had. And to me, does it get better? I mean, look, I'm not at all by any means discrediting or discounting when you go into the Saints Hall of Fame and you look at who did it. And maybe, you know, there's a picture or a painting or something that depicts them of not only their face, but also maybe a play that you recognize. Right? Morton Anderson, it's kicking and all. But for those two players to have what you're talking about, and we're taking your phone calls next hour and tweets as well, as we hope to have them next hour call in, is their two most memorable plays may come in the biggest game of a player's career and moments that help do the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Win a Super Bowl. You can't take that away. Nobody cares or matters when you draft, did you play in NFL? Super Bowl champion Lance Moore. Super Bowl champion Pierre Thomas.
Yes.
And now Saints Hall of Famers. I mean, just think about it. They're great stories, man. I mean, when you think of that, right? And to me, the thing is, we haven't really gotten into Lance Moore. He had a little Joe Horn in him, his style,
yes.
Right? He had the one eye black going, the towel, you know, the long towel that he had.
The dance moves after
the
he,
dance yeah. moves, all that. He brought a little style. You know, he was kind of like Joe Horn. The guy could catch. Like, it was one of those things where if Lance Moore dropped the ball.
You were surprised.
He was surprised.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds ridiculous because as a receiver, you should probably catch the ball. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
But no, seriously, like, he was a go-to player
yes.
for third downs and stuff. Drew Brees absolutely trust him. He was a great route runner. And the guy made one-handed catches seem like it was no big deal. I know Beckham Jr. gets all that attention and stuff. But, dude, Lance Moore, if it was around him, he was going to catch it.
I remember Lance Moore's best season to me, and it was probably the most shocking season, was the 2008 season, which he almost had like 1,000 yards and like 10 touchdowns, something like that. Right. And that was the year Marcus Colson got hurt. So it's like you had to depend on Lance Moore. He was pretty much the only reliable receiver, and they still couldn't stop him from catching the ball.
Yeah. Again, you think of two players in the Peyton era that just that – define, I mean, again, Colson, I've said this before, right? For the Peyton book that's
yes.
going to come out at some point. You know, my time with the same, like the or, you know, the team puts out, like, who's on that cover? Obviously,
yes.
number 9 holding the Super Bowl trophy.
Yes.
But on that cover, I've said this, Marcus Colson.
Yes.
You have to put Pierre Thomas on there.
Yes.
Lance Moore's on there as well. And Scott Fujita doing the bowing thing
yes.
with his hands together, man. Vilma making an audible call.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the names that pop up to me and faces immediately. Hour 2 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.